Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our first episode of season three for the Arrow episode, The Calm. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
I am your other host, Amanda Konkin.
Season premiere.
Very exciting. I'm glad to be back. Yay. Yeah. How are you, Arrowheads?
Quiverheads? Well, we kind of came back last week. But
we did kind of. We talked a little bit about, you know, what people's thoughts were about stuff over the summer and how excited people were for the episode. But this is it actually, like, going in, watching an episode. We're going to go through it together, talk about big things this episode.
Oh my God, I don't want to watch it. If I don't watch it again, it's not real. Oh, it's so upsetting. That's why I wanted to talk about Flash before, because I just needed to erase the memory of how horrible. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so watch the episode not necessarily before you listen permanent. To this podcast.
Yeah.
It is necessarily permanent.
Oh, I hope that you've watched the episode.
Well,
because
we have some new people. So if you just like Arrow, this is Quiver, and we're the best and awesome, and hopefully you like us too. We have a really wicked Facebook group and really active community members, and me and Mike talk about Arrow, and it's pretty awesome. So welcome if you're a brand new Quiverhead.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the episode, because we're basically going to do a commentary.
Yeah.
And that means that if you have not watched it, this is not the optimal way to experience it. You need to watch the episode first. Just pause right now, watch it, and then start listening to us.
And if you choose to, you may watch it once, then come back and rewatch it with us, because that'll be a fun thing.
That is a way to do it.
Yeah.
Because we are going to talk about spoilers. We are going to talk about the fact that Sarah got shot by a bunch of arrows right at the end of the episode, and, like, pretty definitively died in Laurel's
arms.
It's
not like one arrow. It's like multiple arrows, and her head was bleeding everywhere.
At first I was just like, oh, this is fine. Like she gets shot by the arrow. I was like, oh cool.
Good.
Like,
she's gotten attacked by somebody. Injured critically.
Yeah, somebody's done something. I this is a very dramatic turn of events. And then the second arrow hits her, and I was like, oh, that's not good. And then the third one hits her, and I'm like, oh, no. And then she falls off the building, and I'm like, I'm doing it again. Like, Amanda can tell you, like, I was, like, pulling my face off out of distress because I'm so upset by it. Like,
and it's so funny because
for the uninitiated, I think she's my favorite character on the show, right?
Mike loved her Sarah. Last season. And the fact, I was kind of like, well, why would you get rid of her in the end of season two and then bring her back?
And then bring her back right away.
I was like, super lame, guys. Lame.
Yeah. No.
And then this is why. And Mike pulled a, like, traditional, what we get asked on our Quiver group is consistently, people will say comments, and he's like, no, they're not coming back to life. But if it's on record now that Mike's like, but it might not be permanent. Maybe she'll come back. It happens with people that when they're excited about their episode.
As we're recording this, I get a text from Derek from Starkville Labs, our sister Flash podcast. And Derek says, in all caps, how you just going to end an episode like that? So he very clearly, like, as we're talking about it, he just watched it.
That's hilarious.
Man. Oh.
This show is so good. It's Arrow is, you know, season three, you still got it. I'm really excited. By the way, so, you know, the secondary plot line or whatever, the Hong Kong stuff, I'm really intrigued by this. I love that you get two shows in one with Arrow. I get to watch two shows each week because it's completely different. And I know that it'll tie in thematically and all that stuff. But, like, right now, I'm really excited, too, about all this brand new stuff that's happening in Hong Kong and Arrow. Or not Arrow, but Ollie as a character, like, growing, that we're in a brand new environment this year, which is cool.
None of the familiar stuff from the island that we're used to,
which
I think is really cool. It's a really great way of refreshing the show without completely changing it, because they get to change half of it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And it's mirrored in the idea that Ollie's also out of his element, like, not at Queen Consolidated. We've got Felicity as, like, a tech gal at some random geek shop thing. Yeah. So that's interesting. And oh my gosh, Brandon Routh is, like, the best, and I love him.
Is he not? That is such a great addition, and I'm so glad that they had the courage, I guess, to cast him with all of the DC baggage that he comes with. I mean, he's Superman, right? He is probably, I don't know, let me just really quickly rank them in my head.
Interesting.
He's probably the second worst Superman. And, like, when I say that, like, I think that everybody who's played Superman has done a pretty good job of it. Yeah. I think that he's not, it's not his fault.
No,
that
he Superman came back and sucks. did a sequel to the Christopher Reeves movies.
Yeah.
And he did a good job of being a Christopher Reeves knockoff.
Yeah.
But he was, and anyways, there's problems with it, but I mean, I love Superman.
But, like, that's the thing. He comes with all that baggage.
Yeah.
But he's such a good actor. He's super talented, and I always enjoy him in everything I see him in.
Yeah.
And he comes into this, and honestly, you don't really think about it.
You don't.
In his first scene, you do a little bit because it's like, oh, that's Brandon Routh. He's Superman.
Yeah.
But then almost instantly, he shows you this other character that I really enjoy the way that they've characterized the Atom, bringing him from the comics to this show. They've said that
for those that don't know him, he is going to be the Atom.
Well, the showrunners have said that although he is the Atom, mm-hmm. there will be no shrinking. There's he won't have superpowers. Right. My prediction right now, take it for what it's worth because it's a prediction. But I mean, based on the emails that we get, especially the emails that we got over the summer of people checking out Quiver for the first time, our predictions tend to be pretty accurate.
They're good.
So, yeah, we've got a good track record. We also have a lot of very wrong predictions. But, my prediction is that rather than him shrinking down and being the Atom, he'll use technology to accomplish the same goal.
Yeah.
So he'll have nanobots or something of the sort that he'll be able to do the same thing.
Yeah. It'll be so cool.
They established that he's like a tech genius.
He's basically
Steve Jobs, right? Yeah. Like smart one.
I just want to come in here and like, I feel bad. I don't want to like defend myself as someone that doesn't really like Elicity, but they're not my favorite. Mm-hmm. They did it. I mean, it's really interesting what they do here, and I'm not like against them. It's just that every time I see Felicity on screen with another male that's not Ollie, she has such better chemistry with them.
Yeah.
And so that's the core of my problem. Like Oliver and Felicity are so great and they do love each other. But in terms of like chemistry, she just has it with basically every other male that she plays against.
Yeah.
Aside from Oliver. And so that's what it is for me. And I think they treated it really well in this episode. I really liked Felicity as a character in this episode. I was okay with the Elicity stuff because I knew where it was going. Like, that it wasn't, like, a permanent state of being. And I think that they were really cute in the beginning. They played it as if they were in a relationship to start.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. Like, the way that those characters were interacting with one another, they were in a relationship and very close. And so that was interesting for me to, like, see that new side of the two of them together. But I think just continually what keeps being shown to me is that just Felicity is, I think, a better person when she's not romantically linked to Oliver.
Yeah.
And that really, I think, and obviously this whole episode was about that for Oliver.
On that subject, we have an email. This one's from Emily, and she says, "Hello, I just wanted to send a quick email to tell you that I have really enjoyed your podcast over the last couple of years.
Cool.
But
I
think I will have to stop listening because of your obvious distaste of Elicity." Which is personally where I think the writers are clearly heading towards. Seriously, no hard feelings or anything. We just share very different opinions. Thanks for the hours of entertainment, and I hope that you enjoy the season, Emily. I hate to hear that because, like, at the end of the day, these are just opinions, right? Yeah. Like, this is just how we feel about it.
And you know what?
And I'm in agreement. Like, I'll just echo that sentiment. Like, I agree with you. Felicity is a much stronger character when she is... I guess the word just fell out of my brain.
I don't know, like playing off or like partnered with or just like reflected off of somebody else. She becomes, because he is such a, like, he has so much gravitas and is I think he sucks a little bit from her instead of making her a bit brighter.
Yeah.
And I think that other characters have a way of making her a brighter person, whereas she makes Oliver brighter.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, unfair to her. I really hope, Emily, I really hope that Felicity and Oliver can end up together by season 10.
Yeah.
I think that that would be really cool. I think they need to get there in a genuine way. And right now, it's fan service. And I think that that's disingenuous.
So, I mean, like, to talk about that from my perspective, I think, like, I agree with most of what you're saying. But I think, as I said, going into this episode with all the previews and everything, this is not, like, it was a bait and switch, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about, oh, the writers are so great. This show is so great. And the prime reason is that I had everything in this episode pegged.
Yeah.
Up until that last little bit, right? Like, up until, like, they threw the curveball at the end. As I said, going into it, the whole thing that they're doing, it's just like that episode in the first season where they establish to Detective Lance that Oliver is not the Arrow.
Right?
Like,
they have to sort of
They're addressing the fans directly with this and saying, this is not going to happen, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, this is not where these characters are meant to be, and this is not the interesting story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting story to tell has each of these characters independent. That's the word that I was looking for before.
Yeah.
I think that Felicity is a much stronger character when she steps away from Oliver and stands on her own two feet.
Yeah.
And at the end of this episode, that's exactly what she does.
So brilliant. And great.
She doesn't get to have that moment without everything that leads up to it, right?
And so it's such a strong moment
for her as an actress and as a character that
and
I'm glad that they did it. Yeah. I'm glad that they went that route.
And I hope people can just see, like, I really, like, I do think that there is, I mean, the thing is, Felicity would be great for Oliver.
Yes.
The story couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You could not have this story if Oliver and Felicity end up together.
Yeah.
Write non-canonical fan fiction.
Yeah.
And that is where it belongs.
Yeah.
And I hope that it could, one day they'll write a web series or whatever about it where they're together. But that's cool.
Yeah.
But you can't tell the story you need to tell if Oliver's in that much of a relationship, because it would change him as a person.
Yeah.
And I think that he can't be the, like, Felicity's partner and still be Arrow. And that's what this episode was about.
Yes. Like, he's not Superman, right?
Yeah.
And if he's anybody, he's
thing.
Batman.
Yes.
And Batman as a character has always been solo, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yes, okay, I'm going to get hate for that because, yes, of course, he's in a relationship with Catwoman.
Not in the same way,
but he's
like,
not in a relationship
with
Catwoman.
Clark Kent and Lois Lane are, like, synonymous names.
Yes.
They are a partnership, and he could not be Superman without her.
Yeah.
Oliver cannot be the Green Arrow with somebody.
Well,
right?
that's not entirely true.
Not,
because, like, Black Canary is his
but
other
But, like, somebody
half,
like Felicity,
right?
then. I'll do that. Somebody like
but
Felicity.
But the thing with the dynamic with Green Arrow and Black Canary is that they are... they complement each other really well, and as we saw with Sarah's appearance as Black Canary in this episode, Black Canary is a character who's always supposed to kind of have the right thing to say for Oliver to sort of lead him back out of the darkness so that he's not Batman.
Yeah.
But Ollie is a much more flawed character than a lot of other superheroes, and he makes mistakes a lot, and not the same mistake repeatedly.
Just
but, like, he's constantly finding new ways to fail the people around him, right? Like, that is one of the defining characteristics of Oliver Queen in the comics.
Yeah.
So I think that having him with Felicity is not good, because I think Felicity is, I don't know, she's a strong character, but I don't think that she's strong in that same way that a character like Sarah has been. Like, like Sarah, is a very commanding presence, whereas I think that Felicity is a really great support. Like, that's where her strength lies,
and making people brighter.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it would suck it if you don't have. This is the thing that I love. Like, her and Brandon Roth. What is his character's name? Brandon Roth.
Ray Palmer.
So her and Ray together are so great, because Ray already has a certain amount of, like, he smiles and he's sort of really light and he's giddy and he has this really great energy.
Yeah.
That so when she gives him some of her energy, it doesn't. It doesn't take hers away, right? Yeah. She has something to bounce off of, and I think they're really great, and they're on the same par with one another.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really, really important and really interesting. I'm really excited to see where that goes. Again, not to the, like, detriment. I just think it's really interesting that this season, I think that Elicity's out of the way. I really think that they can still be a thing that we all have in the back of our minds, and that, yes, Felicity and Ollie would be great together, but they're the thing that would happen at the end of the series, not through the series, because it would just make the show something different.
I think also, I like them more as the Clark and Chloe relationship than the Lois and Clark relationship.
Yeah,
and I know there's a lot of people.
There's a lot of like Clark and Chloe shippers as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But
going through that series,
thing.
That was a big thing.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of relationship, and it's just not quite as good. It's not the best relationship that both of them could have.
Yeah.
And that's where I come from. I don't hate on Elicity.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's the best choice that they could be making, and I'm really glad that the writers acknowledge that and see that.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited. Do we have other emails? Is that the only email
we have? Another email.
Let's read one more email, and then we'll get into the episode and actually talk, because I have thoughts, especially about Ollie's hair. You now are in Hong Kong. Get a pair of scissors. I just, like, seriously.
Okay. Jonathan... We forgot how to pronounce your last name, Jonathan.
And you're so good, Jonathan, because you have told it to us before.
Yeah.
But
I think it's Spies?
I'm pretty sure it's Spies.
Okay. Greetings, Quiver. I got some wonderful Chuck vibes from this episode.
Oh,
the Oliver-Felicity relationship was presented very similarly to Sarah and Chuck's, but gender-swapped.
Mm.
Felicity, like Chuck, is finally getting a chance at a relationship with the seemingly out-of-her-league co-worker, Oliver. And then he's got in brackets Sarah. It's very confusing because there's a Sarah on this show and a Sarah on that. Anyways, the other parallel is obviously Brandon Routh coming in to break it all up. Just kidding. He is much more likable on Arrow and funny. Brandon Routh was on Chuck.
Oh, right. He was on
in like season 4, I think.
He's been everywhere.
He really has.
He's great.
He was fantastic on that show, too. Yeah. Stay sharp, Jonathan. Thank you for that. You know what? I didn't catch any of that when we were watching it, but I get
There's
I need to rewatch Chuck.
They're the best. You know what? I stopped like after season 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have the rest of it. I just like didn't watch it all.
Well, it's on Netflix now. Anyways,
okay,
but
maybe
I'll
watch it.
I think you're good. You're good.
That's sort of the vibe
because,
I got.
Not because the last two seasons are bad, but because the series finale is very.
Oh, just
dissatisfying.
Oh, that's see, good. Thank you. I don't want to get there. If I don't watch it, it didn't happen. It's sort of a lovely place to be in. Okay, well, that's good. Yes, I think that's really cool. I guess the big problem for me is that word out of your league. I don't like it, and that's why I don't like Elicity and Jonathan. That's what it is, and it's because
Jonathan, I think that we're all friends here. You've been listening for a long time. And I think Amanda can admonish you a little bit for that, because I agree. I don't think that Oliver is out of Felicity's league. Honestly, if anything, he's emotionally stunted and a little bit emotionally constipated. She's out of his league.
That's what I mean.
Felicity is so great. She's such an awesome person.
And that's why I don't want... Because she would be overshadowed by him because it's all people would see.
Yeah.
And it really... I think it's dishonoring
that
character.
It's not fair to her.
It's not fair to her. She deserves better than Oliver. And that's all... That's just what it is. Oliver will become a person that she could possibly... I mean, she does love him. Things are good. Anyways, whatever. I think there's
also just confusion with those characters because of the fact that they spent so much time together. As you said, coming into the season, they had a very relationshipy vibe, really relationshipy feel to them.
There was a lot of touching and a lot of like really sort of nice. Like that's how you write characters that are in a relationship just starting. That's
and
like
I think they did it on purpose because I think that those two people are. Confused.
Yeah.
I think that Oliver is looking for someone to latch onto because I don't know that he's properly grieved a lot of things.
Yes. Oh, true.
Because his mom died and his sister disappeared. Like as far as he knows, his sister disappeared of her own volition, right? Because she said, "I've had it with you people, I'm leaving."
Mm-hmm.
Right? And took off. He doesn't realize that she is with Merlin and whatever.
I'm excited to see when they sort of like talk about
this. I expected the end of the episode to be that. Merlin, and that's where they threw the curveball, is instead of that, they killed Sarah.
And you gotta love that. And oh, my God. Let's watch it again.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go, let's watch it. There's so many things to talk about. I promise, all my Ulysses out of the way, I'll just watch the episode and talk about it. Genuinely, thank you for indulging me with that, and I apologize. It's just because I love them so much, and I want them to do
I just need to say before we start that Olicity talk, it would be wrong of me as captain of the Fuligle ship to not bring it up.
Yes.
Because I'm taking credit for that, right? Fuligle, I'm going to make that happen, personally, me.
I actually weirdly think that they
with
have
your
a better
help,
shot.
Everybody. Like, I can't run this ship by myself. Yeah. It's a very large ship, and it requires a big crew.
And it has a baby wedge in the middle of it right now.
It does have a problematic baby in the middle. But
we'll figure it out.
It's nothing that can't be overcome. We'll get into it. Let's watch the episode. We've already talked too much about it, and we'll have nothing to talk about during it. I am hitting play right now.
So if you're watching along, this is the previously...
Oh, the closed captions... Which reminds me, go to teespring.com/quiverpodcast to buy your Scoff t-shirt.
Yes.
If you love the closed captions just as much as me.
Yeah, because we made an honoring Detective Lance who is having heart problems, and it's so sad.
He better scoff in this episode.
He better. He's more like can't breathe in this episode because he has problems.
I think he had a moment. I think he had a scoff.
Maybe he has a scoff. It's good. It's a pretty good thing. Anyways...
This is all the previous stuff. This is last
stuff. We know what happened. But Fuligle is still really cute. I don't know. I think that Diggle and Felicity are interesting together. I think that there is this Lila stuff. I totally, in all fairness, forgot about her until we came back. And I think it was, again, I think it... I'm actually kind of upset. I feel like they're actually using Diggle's storyline to be the tie to Hong Kong right now, in terms of, like, being a provider and having a child and things like that. I feel like that's why this was put in at the end of last season, because if you'll notice, Diggle wasn't headed in this direction until the last few episodes of last season, and I really think it's to fulfill this larger narrative arc this season, so I'm
of
interested
all
to
of
see
her
how they use
being
that.
Responsible
for people and,
other
and yeah, other
lives.
People's lives and other people's kids, and I think that there will be a really good parallel for that, so I think that that's why that's being set up. Ooh, look at all this boom boom action.
By the way, they did not waste a second. They just got right into it with the action.
Drive on top of a semi.
Oliver being all awesome and taking out the trailer on the semi. Yeah. And now punching and attacking the driver. But, you know, it seems like he needs a little bit of help.
And this spinny dude, oh my gosh, how amazing is Roy? I just love Roy. Yeah. We didn't really talk about Roy before we started this, but, like, Roy, I just love him as the Red Arrow. I love it.
I like that there's not a lot of, there wasn't a lot of fanfare to it
in
this episode.
No, it just was a thing.
It's
just
like, that's
around.
His partner. That's his partner now.
And,
he
knows what he's doing, and he's pretty good at it, and he looks freaking awesome while he's doing
it. Do they ever call him Arsenal in the episode?
I don't remember.
I don't think that they did.
I don't know. I don't think they did. No.
Love
how
that
cool
arrow.
Is that arrow? The,
new
like,
trick arrow right off the bat.
Net arrow or whatever it is. Oh, it's so good. Who's Vincent Steelgrave? Is that someone important? Oh, look at Supernatural, this beginning part.
Yeah,
it's
the
a
new
Chiron. Arrow. What?
Chiron.
Okay, cool.
It's like an opening title.
Nice. That is good. And they're still at... Verdant. I forget why Verdant shut down. Oh, I guess because Thea's not there. That's the bad.
Because Isabel Rochev shut it down when she was in charge of Queen Consulting.
Right, I forgot about her. Oh, Rochev. Wait, John Barrowman is credited but not in the episode? Is that because
he's a regular,
now, so he gets to be credited? All right.
Yeah.
Fun times. Interesting. I don't know. She's wearing great dresses. Felicity has the greatest dresses.
Yeah, her wardrobe is fantastic.
They all look, gosh, their costumes are all so great.
Good job, Andy.
Yeah.
Well done on the Arsenal costume.
Man, Roy's costume is so...
You know what, like, in some of the promo pictures, I don't know how I felt about the lacing.
Right,
The laces down the front of it. As is always the case, you can't judge these costumes until you see them in action on the show, like on screen, how they're shot.
Yeah.
And
There's that touching you're talking
about. Yeah, the touching of the face.
Relationship.
And the mislead where he's like, are we on for tonight or for tomorrow? Because you're supposed to assume they're in a relationship when they get back. And they're not.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. There's sort of like different misdirects. He smiles so much in the beginning of this and then not later.
I don't understand. Is this necklace for his baby?
Yeah, I didn't know.
It seems very dangerous.
I feel like it was for Lila. I feel like it was like, here, give your baby mama a gift. Like, as a thing.
Okay.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. He is not making money in any way.
No.
I don't.
He has some money of his own, though. He said that last season.
Okay.
I love this performance on Stephen Amell's part because knowing that he is a family man himself and that he has a daughter, you can see it in his eyes where he's pulling from.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, you can see the acting happen a little bit. But because of where it's coming from, I like it. Right?
Yeah,
like,
he's just so...
Because I see, like...
the real Stephen Amell.
He did a video a couple of weeks ago, and in it, his daughter was off screen, and she did something, and he's like, hey, Facebook, like he always is having this conversation. And then he just stops in the middle of it, and he's like, you okay? And then you hear, like, baby noises, and he's like, okay, cool. And then he goes back to the video, and it was just like... I knew that there were women all over the world who had a very visceral response to that moment of him being an amazing father.
He's just so great and so real and so Stephen Amell or Ollie's running through
Hong Kong.
He knocked over some boxes that were in.
Probably Chinatown.
Probably.
In Vancouver.
We have a really good Chinatown actually. Best coconut buns. Oh, so delicious. If you never had a coconut bun?
It is a fantastic shooting location and gets used for this sort of thing all the time.
Yeah.
On shows just like this.
Yeah.
It's very odd watching Flash and watching Arrow.
Because Flash, you can see Vancouver everywhere.
Flash,
they don't hide it at all. It's just Vancouver.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's really hard a lot of the times in Arrow to tell exactly where they are. But the Flash, it's just... like everywhere.
Yeah.
Actually, that was really interesting.
The scene that Oliver is in The Flash.
Yeah.
The street that they're shooting, like that sort of in the background that Barry runs down at the end when he takes off. I walked down that street today.
Yeah, like it's
like
just like right.
I went to get a snack during work, and it's like
my
office is just around the corner from where he was running.
Super awesome. They're using, I mean, this episode they used BC Place for most of it. Is that the one?
Oh, yeah. They used BC Place a lot later on. And then this is the convention center.
Yeah. I don't recognize this. Like, down on, you mean like the convention center that they're in Vancouver?
Yeah, the new Vancouver Trade and Convention Center.
They're using interesting angles for it. Anyways, it's very lovely. Detective Lance, my favorite. I guess he's Captain Lance, but I still will always call him Detective Lance because...
They keep calling him Detective Lance, so I'm going to keep calling him Detective Lance.
Exactly. I like Laurel a lot in this season. I know it's only been one episode.
I all of my problems with Laurel last season are gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. And I said to you in this moment coming up that it was so nice... to see her smiling again.
Yeah.
Because that's what... We saw a lot more of that in season one.
Yeah.
And it went away, right? Because Tommy died and she had to deal with all of that. So I think, like, it was very natural. Where her character went was natural. It was frustrating, but it was supposed to be frustrating.
So you know what? I have a prediction for you right now.
Yeah.
They're going to send her there again. Even worse.
You didn't
know? Because that was the point of last season, I think. Because now her sister has died in her arms.
Yeah.
She gets to go back there much faster... and stay there a little bit longer.
You think
I think
they're setting her up for Black Canary.
I think she becomes
Black Canary by the end of this season.
Yeah, but I think she needs to hit bottom first, though. She has to have a little bit of an edge to her.
She already did hit bottom last season.
Okay, sure.
I think,
as Canary, I don't know, to see where that goes and be a threat. Oh, here's the interesting thing. Maybe she'll like the idea of like, what is that character? Like, what good and what bad can you bring to that kind of a character? And I think that'll be the line that she'll have to walk in terms of that rage that she has and that.
I think it'll be more anger than it'll be that self-destructive.
Yeah. No. It'll be anger. What I mean is, I think she's dealt with her own stuff and now it's external to her. Okay. And I think that'll be.
We're talking over the introduction of our new Count Vertigo. Mm-hmm. This makeup right here is fantastic.
Oh, it's super scary.
I was saying he looks, in that moment, he looked a lot like Parasite from Superman. He's just supposed to, he says, you know, creepy. It's your worst fear. So he's kind of added a little bit of a scarecrow element into Vertigo. But normally that would bother me because it's like, well, Scarecrow exists already, and if you want to bring in Scarecrow.
Yeah.
But it's very important for the plot later on.
Right. So it's interesting. It works.
And it might intentionally be there to tie into
Scarecrow
and Gotham. And not Gotham the TV series, but Gotham the actual place.
Yeah. Oh, this is another really cute dress. They're all the same style. They figured out what style works really well on her. So, anyways, I think this is interesting that they're using like outside of Verdant. They're using their locations really well now because they don't have the office to go back to, which I thought is interesting. Like they have to sort of have them moving or being outside.
That location right there is Beresford Studios.
Is that?
Yeah, and that's where they're doing a lot of the shooting now. So they've kind of taken over Smallville stomping grounds.
Nice.
Old stomping grounds, I should say. There's a lot of history there. But Stephen said when we interviewed him that they do a lot of shooting at Vancouver Film Studio as well. Those are kind of the two places. So first commercial break.
After Felicity has been asked out by Oliver.
Yeah. They're going to go on a date.
And that's the thing. That's going to happen.
Just fast forward to Dracula commercials.
Yes.
People hate it when we talk about the commercials, but I like to talk about the commercials.
It's fascinating. It's part of the viewing experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't watch the commercials.
We don't.
Unless it's something cool. Sometimes there's something cool. Like when a good movie's coming out, like Captain America.
Yeah, we'll stop and watch the commercials. Yeah. It'll be good. It also tells you what else is on TV and what...
CW's still trying to make the 100 happen. apparently a lot of people watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back in. Oliver... Yeah. In a motorcycle chase of sorts.
Can I say, like, it's unfair that Diggle has to be in this giant clunky van. Like, I don't know, is it, like, where there's hot towels so that Ollie can come rest? And so here we have Felicity. This is great. She's at her tech warehouse hardware.
Tech Village is what it's called. I think it TV is, mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out if they were trying to go for something specific.
Right.
I think they should have called it Video Village. I guess that it's that
isn't kind Video of Village important. An actual place?
No, like Video Village is like where the director sits.
And
But I don't know. It also doesn't imply computers as much.
Yeah. So this is interesting. And so she's, you know, hacking in the back of the store, of course, why not, or tracking or whatever. And Detective Lance is on the run as well, which I think is interesting that he's tracked just as much as Oliver is.
Yeah, even though he's supposed to be taking it easy as a captain now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's popping pills. And at first, I think we had the reaction that this was another medicine? Addiction storyline, because we know that he is a recovering alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
and that last season Laurel had an issue with pills. But then I realized partway through the episode that what happened to him at the end of the season was a heart issue.
Right, yeah.
And those are heart pills that he's taking, not pain pills.
Right,
So that's a very different thing. I mean, I don't know the medical aspects behind that. Yeah, they could be addictive as well.
But I think they're mostly just doing the, like, he's an injured person storyline.
I think it's just that, like, his heart can't handle being out in the field. Right. I think what they're doing is they're trying to evolve his character into a Commissioner Gordon type presence.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, because they established him as a beat cop, turned detective, turned beat cop again, turned back to detective, they gotta go, well, he's gonna be reluctant to step away from the street because that's where he's used to doing his
job. Right.
So we have to have a story in there to get him from point A to point B. And we've got Amanda Waller, my least favorite character on this show.
They really played up the heels as she was walking in. Yeah. Well, she's gone now, so we're good. And this is Brandon Hawkins.
Yeah, I like that they did that they've shown that basically she's not going to be around.
Yeah.
That she's going to pop in every now and then, but that it's going to be this guy. Yeah. That's really like her presence.
The like handler for all
and,
the
and I think that's smart because I like him. I like that.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah, and I think it'll be good. So it'll be interesting.
I love his shirt. I love his whole outfit.
How he was wearing what he was wearing, and he's so non-threatening, and he's so cute and awesome, and just
I love that thing that he does. That he does with like the one eye, like he kind of squints,
sort of.
And he gets that little half grin.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I love him.
I feel like Brandon Routh would be a good friend.
Yes.
I feel like he'd be a fun guy to hang out with. He's so big, though. Look how big he is.
I love him on, what is it? Oh, the weird comic book, that Canadian comic book that with Michael Cera.
Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim.
I can't believe it took you. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry that took a long time.
That's shameful as both a geek and a Canadian.
No,
shameful.
I can't think of two things at one time. I was sorry.
So, this is the same... when I said, let's get into the episode, because I didn't want to jump ahead.
Yeah.
Lila?
Yeah.
Lila is... ex-husband. There it is.
Yeah.
And he said boyfriend. Yeah. I didn't catch that. Love the closed captions.
Yeah.
I love the closed captions, because I didn't catch that he said boyfriend.
Oh, really?
But she says ex-husband.
Yeah.
Which is very telling... to where the two of them are both in this relationship.
Yeah.
Because I think that she's a little bit more reluctant than he is.
Yeah, I think she'd be fine just going and doing her own thing, even with the baby.
I think what's going to happen is that at some point in this season, that child is going to be put in danger as a result of the things that Oliver does and their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And she's going to say, like, I can't do this. Yeah. I have to leave.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Diggle will stick around or if Diggle will go. But I would hope not, because I think that
he's
an important part of the show. Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
Have they used this restaurant before? It's a great restaurant.
I feel like this restaurant set was used but configured differently
for like other stuff. My goodness, they are using the exact same cut of dress on her. She's worn three really distinct things, but they all come up sort of. I know people don't really care at all, but the way that they're using her shoulders, like, I don't know if that's something to, like, in terms of how she's playing against him consistently in this, to, like, either make her look smaller or bigger. I can't quite figure. Anyways, it'll just be.
I think that they're trying to play up the romantic angle.
Maybe.
So they're putting her in very cute dresses, as opposed to, like, her wardrobe last season, I think, was a lot more businessy.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
But she was also his personal assistant last season. So
she's just like a lot of shoulders are being seen in it. It's good. They're all really cute, and she looks great in them. She does look professional. They're like making her look very good.
She looks like a grown up. Yeah, she looks much more like a grown up.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're just sort of like evolving her character a little bit, which I think is really interesting. And she's so vibrant and lovely and bright. And I just love her. She's my favorite. I just love her. So it's just why I'm so protective of her, I think. I don't know. That's what it is. I'm just protective of Felicity.
Oh, she looks fantastic. She really does.
So he's talking about Hong Kong, which is a conversation that we've already had with him.
Not to take anything away from Oliver, by the way. Oh, who also looks fantastic. He's just always
it goes without saying.
They put him in nice suits.
We talked over her lovely shirt lines, where she's like without a shirt multiple times. It's good.
All the time. Yeah, they're trying to get into this relationship thing, but I think this is the thing that I find interesting, is that Oliver is nervous, and I think that the initial feeling on that is like, oh, he's such a strong character, but this is the one person who lowers his defenses. I think it's different. I don't think that that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's that this is forced. I think that the two of them are trying to force a relationship that's not there.
It's not super comfortable, and it's not like. And the thing is, it's not that she lowers his defenses. I think it's just that it is. He said he's out of his element. Like, I think he's trying to be a person that he thinks he should be.
Yeah.
And that's not wrong. And it's not like that's it's not that he couldn't be that person, But it's like, a what does he need to be, or who actually is he, which is really interesting. Because he knows that Felicity is good for him. He knows that. And he knows that he loves her, and he knows all these things.
But just think back to last season when he was with Sarah, and how much more natural that
relationship was. Yeah, and I think that there's, like, this idea, too. I think it's disingenuous to be in a relationship with someone you feel you always need to protect. That's not okay. You can't be a sane person like that. You can't. Like, Lois always got herself into trouble, but she was competent. Like, she is a competent person.
Well, half the time she was saving somebody else.
Yeah, like, she would save other people. Like, she's like a... So anyways, and I'm sorry, I know that that's an unfair pedestal to put people on, because Lois Lane is, like, my favorite, like, mythological creation ever. But, like,
and they tracked them to this restaurant, and Vertigo... Our new Vertigo is going to blow it up. Yeah. Oliver, of course, with his superhero senses, catches that there's a rocket being launched.
Yeah.
Well, like, it makes a sound, and I think that he knows what it is. But we're into a commercial break here.
But so he is to the rescue flipping. I love how he flipped the table over but didn't actually, like, hide underneath it. I guess was that just, like, it was faster to go through the table than it was to go around it?
I think it was just exciting.
Yeah, okay. It was just some good hero thing to do. Like, yeah. I'm gonna knock this over. A lot of flash previews in here, which is great. So fun.
Cool. And right after this flash preview, we are right back into it.
With
this
eye. Yeah. Did we originally thought this was what, like...
I thought it was, like, the original Vampire Diaries with that chandelier.
Destruction and chandelier.
Yeah. It's just another promo, but it's the... I think it is astounding to me that other people were killed in this.
Yeah.
And yet, Felicity, a little bit banged up in the head, concussed for sure.
Yeah.
And bleeding, as we're about to see as this sort of, like, pans around.
Yeah.
But in, like, the next scene, basically, after she's been cleaned up, no other injuries.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Everybody's fine.
But Roy finding the GPS. I
like this because this was character development without taking time to explain the character development. They have been patrolling since the end of last season, and Oliver has trained him.
Yeah.
He's trained.
Yeah, that's all.
End of story. He's not quite Oliver, because obviously he didn't spend 2 years on an island and then however many years in Hong Kong, then wherever else he's going to go. But he knows what a GPS is, and he knows that it's disabled, and he found it. Like, he knew to check the bag.
Yeah.
Like...
It's good that Roy is...
They're a team. Yeah. They're a dynamic duo of sorts. Yeah. He is the Robin to Oliver's Batman, so... Yeah,
and I'm excited to see it.
I just love that they did that character development for him off-screen, so that we can just have Arsenal be his buddy.
I don't understand why he's not here
with him.
Like, why didn't he come with you? Obviously...
They either needed him to be there, or they needed a line for why he wasn't there.
Yeah, it just, like, was a thing where I'm like... Surely this is a dangerous situation you're going into. Possibly backup would be helpful.
Yeah. But he's got the backup of Detective Lance. And here we go, the first confrontation with Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. I love the actor. I can't remember his name at the moment. I'm going to look it up while we talk about it. But I love...
You love the new...
I love this new Vertigo.
Yeah.
We had problems with Seth Gable last season.
I like Seth Gable. I love Seth Gable.
I didn't like him as Count Vertigo.
This guy is
creepy. He didn't match the tone of this show.
This guy is creepy and works really well for Vertigo. This was interesting. This was, like, one of the only scenes I watched before coming into the... I try really hard to not watch a ton of stuff for Arrow so that I have really interesting new... things to talk about when I do podcasting, so I do try to stay away from stuff as much as possible. But this one I did watch, and it was kind of cool. Or not watch, or maybe saw stills from or something. But the idea that he was sort of fighting himself, and I was like, how are they going to put that in? I love that they find ways to ground somewhat unrealistic things in reality so intensely in this show, which is really, really awesome. So the idea that he could be fighting himself, but it makes perfect sense in that particular scenario.
Yeah. Peter Stormare is the actor that plays.
Cool.
What's it? His name is
something that I couldn't pronounce.
I hate it when IMDb cuts it off.
Yeah.
On the app. Anyways, he's Vertigo. I mean, that's what we'll call him. I like that they've kind of retconned that character in a good way.
It's good, yeah. Without, like he said, the count's dead. Yeah. So you get the acknowledgement that this is a new count, right? Which is cool.
Detective Lance having heart issues. We're into another commercial break.
Yeah. But, so Detective Lance sort of dying or whatever, having issues. I think you're totally right. That makes so much sense. I was trying to figure out why they're doing this to him, like making him so weak. And that would make a lot of sense.
They gotta put him behind the bat signal, right? Like Jim Gordon as a character is definitely along the same lines as Detective Lance and came up the same sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also by the time that Batman shows up on the scene, he's more
right.
of a desk job kind of guy.
Yeah. So that
he's
can
the
call,
commissioner.
Yeah,
right?
so you can call him and come. So it's good. I love that they had solidified that this was a clear voice and not a disguised voice. And it's interesting because they did earlier. Closed captions are great. You should totally watch them with closed caption. I love that Felicity hasn't lost her little sort of quippy stuff, and I love that he just totally rolled his eyes at her. That was like a great little moment. He was like, oh yeah, okay. And here's, you're getting this turn, right? The character has turned, and this is where it starts to sort of express itself. This confrontation with Diggle is really interesting. I just love that these characters like just build in the world. Like, I don't need to have a full Diggle episode to get his like really intense arc in this. Like, I don't need to spend a ton of time with him.
Well, I think the interesting thing with Diggle is that I think that they're putting him aside so that Roy has a reason to be there.
Yeah, right? Which is great, and I think they're doing, and I hope that they do. I think Roy is great, and that's exciting.
I think adding Roy in and moving Detective Lance up has really changed the dynamic of what this show is going to be in this season. And I think because of that, this first episode is a lot of shifting characters around. And here we've got an introduction of a new
Japanese character.
Yeah. Character is Tatsu Yamashiro, I think.
Interesting. Like, I know that there's a lot of rumblings of Katana coming into the series, so that's just something that's interesting. But, so here we got the sort of minion dude who's now invited him into his home, and I'm excited to see where that goes. I really do like it. It's sort of like a secondary story. I just love it. It's so good. I'm intrigued to see what's happening in Hong Kong. But here, Laurel being very, you know, coming to remount her dad.
Yeah.
Because he is putting himself in harm's way.
By the way, her hair is a lot blonder than it was last season.
Okay.
it gets lighter every season.
Oh, it does, actually, yeah. Oh, that's a gradual progression.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't pick up on that.
I like that, like this conversation of her just being like, he doesn't know what he's supposed to be.
Right,
anymore,
yeah.
Because he's always been a cop.
Yeah.
And she just says, just be my father.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's so good. I love him. He's great. He's like the only, like, fatherly type figure now. There's no moms, and Moira was gone, and Walter's gone, and I guess that was it. But still. I mean, technically Merlin was around, but anyways.
Yeah, so Tatsu Yamashiro is based on the DC Comics character Katana.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how it's going. And so here they come to buy back the company or get back the company, and Ray Palmer is here instead to take the company. I'm just so excited to see how this like go. Oh my gosh, he's bigger than Ollie.
Yeah.
He is a big dude.
He's very
tall.
He's very tall.
Oh, gosh.
I love that. I love that he parked my helicopter on your roof.
So good.
Yeah, he's a perfect casting. Like I said, like I'm really glad that they had the courage to pull him in.
Yeah.
Because that DC is making very weird choices lately. Wow, with the way that they're allowing the use of their characters in a TV show.
Yeah.
It's stuff that when Smallville was on TV, they would not have done.
Yeah, totally. But he's just so boring talking in comparison to Ray. I really like that Ray's going to be like a foil for him, I think.
Yeah.
which will be really interesting in a really positive, like, I think he is. He's like the happy, I really want this. Oh, you know what? It's also happy to, like, help bridge the world between this and Flash. I think it'll give it a lighter, that lighter element, which is really exciting. Yeah. And I think that people would be really open to on this show. Well, at least that I would be really open to on this show. In a way that's still super, like, he's not a goofy character. He's not, he's someone that I would respect in what he's doing. I think it'll be really interesting.
I love this part. It's science. Numbers.
Yeah. So good.
But this year, but just for everybody's awareness, I guess, Ray Palmer and Oliver Queen are kind of at odds in the comics as well. So they're definitely setting up some clashing personalities.
Yeah.
And that's to sort of pull in that they're a little bit clashy in the comics.
In a really exciting way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is interesting development. The idea of Starling City becoming Star City.
Yeah. This is happening because of Flash. Absolutely because of Flash. Because now that we have, like, I mean, Central City was mentioned in the first season.
Yeah.
But now that that's, like, a real place and that Supergirl pilot is in development at CBS, and it will be connected to this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's the same showrunners, and they've said as much. And whatever city that ends up being in won't be Metropolis, I guarantee that. They'll pick another city. Yeah. But
they can now have the city.
They're developing the larger DC Comics universe. Oh, and the Teen Titans show is apparently going to be tied into this as well. That TNT is developing.
Right.
So all four of those shows will all share one universe, and Gotham and Constantine will be the odd shows out. Not that we'll have to worry about it. Constantine's probably going to get canceled.
Anyways, it's interesting that so the Star City is emerging. I think that's cool too, because people. I sort of did tell, like, because again I watched the Flash pilot with my friends and they were like, Starling City? Because I was talking about Arrow as well. They're like, why isn't it just Star City? That's weird. And so I think that also there's like a lot of people that are like, why is it not Star City? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I think it's because the city is growing with him. He's not going to be in Star City until he's the Green Arrow, which is, I think, could be an interesting way to develop that. That, like, then it becomes Star City and he is the Green Arrow in Star City. There could be some interesting.
Fast forwarding through more commercials. We just talked over Oliver and Felicity having the conversation about relationshipy stuff, I think.
But not, like, the conversation about it.
No, that yeah, that's right.
But just a conversation about, like, they might have to talk to one another soon about things because things are weird. So, that makes sense. I don't know there's a lot of Felicity and Arrow Ollie conversations about their relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the main plot of this episode is definitely their relationship stuff. It is not the Vertigo stuff.
It's the calm before the storm. Yeah. The calm. The things that are going to go wrong. And we're back with Diggle looking at a big screen of some kind. Oh, right. So the idea... is Werner the name of the guy that's...
Yeah, Vertigo? Vertigo.
So he's... I don't understand what happened here. Like, they are trying to...
Vertigo is taking out all of the other major drug kingpins in the
city. Oh, and so there's only three left, is what that is?
And they're all in the same place.
Interesting. Okay.
And track them through their ankle bracelets because they're all on parole.
Super convenient.
Yeah.
Sweet. That was actually a map, I think, of Vancouver with the...
Yeah.
With, the... What is it called? Is that BC Place or is
That's
that...
That's BC Place.
Okay. It's good because we're in British Columbia, guys. So it's called BC Place because we're really good at naming things.
To be fair, BC Place was built, like, forever ago when you didn't have to name things exciting.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, the arena next to it is Rogers Arena.
Yeah. So I'm actually... That's actually pretty impressive, then, that it still has its, like, name and it's not called
the Fez, where the Canucks used to play is called the Coliseum.
Right.
Right, it's the Pacific Coliseum. So.
Oh, right. That's true.
That's a cool name.
That is a cool name. But anyways, we have what... The CFL plays at BC Place, right?
Yeah.
Is that... That's Canadian football, guys.
And
the soccer team.
The soccer team.
Whitecaps.
The Whitecaps. Why are we talking about sports? Anyways, they're arguing. Diggle and Oliver are arguing because Oliver's putting him on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right that this all ties into
the I get has that flashback happened yet, or is it about
to not yet? Where it's about to happen with the kid that we're gonna like get the reveal of him needing to protect other
people. Which I think is foreshadowing. I think that his attitude here is foreshadowing.
Yeah.
That something bad is going to happen to that family.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, it'll be really interesting. And it's why he, like, the thing is that we know he has the ability. He's in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Technology exists. He could contact his family. He's not going to in the next year. So we need to figure out what it is that stops him from doing that. And I think there's a lot of stuff. Also, I'm really intrigued to find out why he ends up back on the island. So that'll be really, really interesting.
Yeah, at the end of the 5 years. Yeah.
I just, this is all, like, most of this is CG, which I think is interesting. Or in somehow... Like, there's just no way they could have had that many extras. They just do not have that much money.
I don't know.
They don't have that much money.
By the way, there there was a really sneaky Easter egg.
Was
right
that
there.
Sneaky or really blatant? I don't know. Ferris Air?
No, that's not the one that I'm talking about.
Oh, what are you talking about?
The one that I'm talking about is that one of those boxers is Wildcat.
Oh,
is a DC Comics hero that's showing up later this season.
Whoa, that's awesome.
I don't know if that's spoilers or not. It's kind of been announced.
How amazing is Roy? He's just so agile and, like, fluid.
He's different from Oliver.
Yeah,
I like that he's different.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of that panache that Sarah had.
Yeah. He's just so... Mike's rubbing his face again. It's so hilarious.
It's so upsetting.
Sorry. It's just... I find it somewhat funny. But,
I think that Nisa will bring Sarah back.
All right, you can think whatever you want.
I think
Nisa's you know bring that Sarah. You would be commenting to me, going like, "Look at this idiot on Facebook that's saying someone's going to come back from the dead." That's you now.
But since they've done it now with Nanda Parbat with Malcolm, I mean,
it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's just I think it lessens her death. And is unfair to that death.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I really hope that it propels the story in an interesting place. And she doesn't have to be gone forever. We still have got a couple more years where maybe she could show up. But this is a good... She's back. There's Sarah with her cool stick thing. Sort of coming back. We don't really know why she came back, which I think is interesting. And also something that will be revealed, which could be interesting.
Yeah.
And here we have Felicity trying to...
Well, the storm. That's probably why she came back. She clearly came back to
deal with the storm.
Yeah, to tell Oliver about something. And thought that she was going to have time to do so.
Right, fair enough. I love this alternative. You can't defuse the bomb, so freeze it instead.
I like it because cut the blue wire, cut the red wire is so overdone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's such a cliche.
I think this is a really cool way to deal with that. So I don't know, it's good, it works. They had to spend a lot of time at BC Place for this episode though.
Yeah.
This is like, that is so expensive.
And then there's Roy again being
like, he's
awesome
scaled this thing, like, it's just so cool. He's
in a very super heroic way.
Yeah, like, I just really, really love what they're doing with him. He's so great. I'm really impressed by him as character.
He's what they're doing is what they've done with Arsenal in the comics, which is that Arsenal is better at being Green Arrow than Green Arrow.
Interesting.
Right, he Ollie trains him,
right,
and then eventually Roy surpasses Oliver,
right,
and that's where there becomes issues,
right?
Like, that's then they start having conflicts because Oliver acts like he's second banana, like Roy is second banana, and Roy's like, "Look, I can do this job without you,"
right? Yeah.
Which is where all these sidekicks get, because that's what happens with Dick Grayson, why he becomes Nightwing.
So it's interesting, and
but I like that they're setting that up.
Yeah,
like, he's already kind of better.
Yeah, and he's great. That, like, that little shot too, right before he doesn't think it's gonna work, the ice.
Yeah.
He doesn't like stop doing it. He is gonna be there and blow himself up by dealing with this bomb. And I think that's a really great.
So Vertigo is dealt with,
captured with the swingy netty arrowy thing.
Commercial to buy season 2
of Arrow now on Blu-ray.
If you're gonna buy season 2 of Arrow on Blu-ray, do it through Amazon, but first go to our website and find it through our Amazon store link, because then, you know, we get a nice kickback,
which is nice. You'll help support Quiver, which is awesome. And
you're better off to buy a t-shirt.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, buy a t-shirt.
teespring.com/quiverpodcast
and have your own little piece of Quiver history. That was a good little They're just talking about things. This is the last Sarah and Ollie scene, Michael.
The worst. She has a different jacket.
Interesting, because she left her jacket with...
Yeah, because she gave her jacket to, to Laurel.
Yeah.
She had, it's like a, it's much shorter. Like it comes to just like the, I don't know, the middle of the torso, I guess.
This is interesting that he's getting a little pep talk from Sarah. I think it's interesting because the next person he goes and has the pep talk with is, what's his face? The Flash? Is that next or is that after? Has that already happened?
No, it happens right at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so it'll be, it's interesting. Anyways, this is like one of my favorite scenes in this episode is this walk and talk through the hospital with Ray and Felicity. It's just super fun.
I guess Raylicity is probably the
Raylicity is the next one. Yeah,
yeah, that's the easiest ship.
Rawlicity. Maybe that's I'm trying to figure out if this is the hospital that I kept like working at all summer. That was like a movie set. Oh no, it's not. I wonder which, if this is an actual. Is this maybe the Smallville hospital that they that was still at Beresford, or do you think that they tore that set down?
No, they tore that set down. They, okay.
I'm sorry, this is the same hallway again, just redressed. That is.
they trashed everything from Smallville.
Interesting. It's all good. I just want to know where they're shooting here. Sorry, I know I shouldn't care. He's got chuckles. Oh, that was great. I love the sub captions, like the what is this called? The closed captions, because you get sort of different things from different people.
Yeah. Mazel tov, I like that.
Yeah. And I love that Felicity used the word scrumptious to describe the baby. Super cute baby. No, this is a little girl. Baby. This is the first, like, baby on the show. Like, it's very, like, I think it is, it's setting up that idea of, like, protective family things, which would be really interesting, because now Ollie doesn't have a family. So,
well, that he knows of.
That he knows of, yeah.
Because we're pretty sure that Connor is somewhere.
Oh, right.
From last
season,
right?
That is truth. That is interesting. I forgot about that. He doesn't know he exists. Ooh,
nope.
Look at all these interesting things. I love this acknowledgement here from Diggle that really Ollie was right and he understands what's going on. And I think that this is going to come... I think that Ollie and him are going to be not in a good place at a certain point in this season. I think it'll be really interesting to see how Diggle reacts to that, right? Like how much Diggle protects himself and how much he expects Oliver to protect him, which is interesting. And we'll see. I don't understand why Hong Kong Ollie hasn't cut his hair, really, honestly. It just... is annoying.
Maybe he likes it that way.
Okay, I don't believe you. Oh, he scoffs. There, that was a scoff. Oliver scoffed. So, I don't know why Amanda Waller wants her him working. That hasn't been established yet, right?
No, it hasn't.
Really? So we're exciting to get to know where that's going, I think, in this season. So, this guy, I think it's his choice to bring Oliver here and humanize him, his family, right?
Yeah.
So, there's a really interesting thing here, especially if we know that possibly Katana is coming out of this origin story. And there's a lot of really interesting things that could happen here. And I'm really intrigued to see how that moves forward. So this idea of not being able to be two people. And I think that that'll be Ollie's struggle this year. They really do a good job of setting that up for each season, the theme of what's going to happen. So here's the reverse walk and talk of what just happened with Rawlicity. Is now Oldicity.
Raylicity.
Raylicity.
I don't know why. Like, you're trying to look at it and
because Ray doesn't get his whole name. How come Ray gets his whole name and she only gets
because that name? Sounds good. Because Rawlicity sounds stupid.
Fine.
That's his name's not Raw. It's Ray. It's Raylicity.
Whatevs. So this conversation is really interesting and poignant, and I like it. And I think...
Her response here, she shuts him down, and she just says, knock it off.
Stop like, dangling babies. I thought she said dangling babies when I first watched it. I was like, that can't be right. But okay, maybes makes a lot of sense. And I think that she has just such a great reaction to this. Did you see how he turned her towards the light so that when they break apart, they can have this, like, great DP moment?
Yes.
Like, the light between them, and they're supposed to be together. But... her response here is so great, and it's why I really like her. And I think that they did this really well. It's this idea that she told him not to talk to her because once he talked and said what he needed to say, I mean, she's not stupid. She knows like what she is and who she is, and I think that was a really good way to deal with that. And I'm really I really think that that was awesome. And here is the Grand Gustin cameo, where if you should now watch The Flash to get the extra part of this.
Or cut them together into one movie.
Yes.
Into a 2-hour movie.
That would be awesome, actually. So, did she just say League of Assassin Vacation Days?
Yeah.
Maybe I misread that. But, again, this is the last scene between the two of them as well. It's kind of a lovely moment.
Yeah.
Everything, the calm before the storm. I like it. I don't really have anything to say about the two of them. I think they came to a really good place last year.
See, yeah, she says you don't want them to know you're in town or why.
Yeah.
And she says both, because something's coming, something's up.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what it is. And we totally don't get that reveal yet. I'm really excited to see what's happening. Again, like, this was the thing where when Sarah kept coming back in previews and stuff. I mean, I didn't watch a ton of stuff, but I knew that she was going to come back. I thought it was weird because it doesn't fit. You can't shove her back into this world. She left, and so she was gone.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how we didn't pick up on this, that this was going to happen. I think it's because we just didn't want to know that.
I didn't think that they, like, if they were going to kill her, they would have killed her last season.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally true. I guess they need to set up a bunch of other stuff to happen first.
Yeah.
Before she actually went away and got killed. So I think this is. The way that they stage this is so great that she can then fall off as Laurel's still walking away. And so we know it's somebody that Sarah knows, and there's that first arrow where you think it's going to be fine, and then the fall. Oh, it's just so...
It's that she hits crack. The dumpster.
And just the crack. Like, she is dead. There's
a puddle of blood around her head.
Yeah, like, she's just 100% dead. It's not, she's not okay.
Yeah, like, there's blood in the hair, like, it's she's just, gone. Those were dead eyes.
Yeah. But. So it's just super sad, and that Laurel had to experience that. So, we're done.
But that's a defining moment. That's a moment that creates a superhero,
it
right?
Sure is. Maybe finding the person that killed your sister.
I don't like it. I'm not happy with it. This is the preview for next week.
To try to figure out what goes on, what's happening.
Yeah, so Oliver, it looked like Oliver was trying to recreate the scenario.
Yeah.
And then we've got a new villain
being
introduced. A new Dark Archer of sorts. And
ooh, look at that interesting, like, way that they sort of flashed Arrow across there with, like, a burning city. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. That the city's going away.
Could be Merlin, could be somebody else.
Yeah. We'll see.
We know who it is, but I don't know if everybody knows who it is, so we'll kind of keep that a surprise.
Yay!
I'm sure somebody in the Facebook group will just post a thing saying, oh, look at it, so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then everybody will be really upset, but what are you going to do? It's been officially announced, I'm fairly certain. So.
Okay, cool.
But, I know we have a nice freeze frame sitting on the TV of Flash.
That actually is, like, a great place to have ended it, where he's just sort of
running.
Looks like he's flying through the air.
He does look like he's flying a little bit.
Super great. So if you like Arrow and you don't know that the Flash exists, I don't understand where you've been. but the Flash exists now. It is interesting and worth watching. I would give it a couple episodes. But
I think that it's one of the best shows on TV right out of the gate.
No, that's good. Excellent.
I think it's fantastic. But, perfectly constructed for what it is.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent.
I
think Arrow's still holding strong and doing awesome things. And my goodness, I'm so glad that we
Arrow,
got
it's
show.
Just, oh,
like,
man. so angry.
You've touched your face more in this podcast than you have in any previous podcast.
Because I'm more emotionally distressed watching this episode than any other episode of this
And
series.
I'm happy by this episode because of Felicity stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, and because it's a new character, I love Ray Palmer.
He's fantastic.
I think I'm so excited by him and the
possibilities
that they create.
They give, but then they take away.
It's true. Well,
I gotta tweet at the writers' room and let them know that I'm very angry.
The thing that's always exciting for me is that, like, I always like secondary storylines better anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really care who Ollie ends up with. I do care who Felicity ends up with. So it's just sort of, like, interesting to me that if they have other stuff. I think I'm really intrigued to see where this goes. I'm really excited about the Hong Kong storyline. If we notice, we said the island had a lot of like blue hue to it. This is very orange.
Yeah.
So we've got the orange hue to Hong Kong, giving it a really distinct feel from Starling City. I think that there's a little bit of brightness in this episode from what they set up for the calm, and I don't know what they're going to go if that brightness is going to stay as we go forward, but I think season 3 is distinctly different. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm very happy with it. Yes, I don't know what else I have to say about this episode because I talked a lot already.
Sure. Well, we got one more email that just came in, so we'll close out the episode with this.
Okay.
And this is from Steven. He says, "Welcome back, Mike and Amanda. I am so happy Arrow is back. Well, until the last moments of the episode. First off, I am really excited to see how Oliver handles himself without running Queen Consolidated and taking an even bigger step into being the leader of the Merry Band of Vigilantes." It's a nice tie-in to his Robin Hood roots. "Roy was awesome in this episode. Can't wait to see more of Arsenal in future episodes. Diggle was great as always. I hope he doesn't go too far from Team Arrow since he has his new responsibilities. Lance was great. I wish there was more in what exactly happened to him in the season 2 finale, but clearly he is still suffering from the events of that night. Ray Palmer was a mix between Superman and Clark Kent. I am excited to see more of him in the future. Barry showing up was perfect. Finally, the reason why I am torn on Arrow being back. Sarah. I can't believe they tease us with her for a few minutes to put a definitive end in her story like that. I've known since the pilot that Laurel would be Black Canary, but Sarah owned that role. I'm just hoping that some Lazarus Pit action hoping for some Lazarus Pit action in her future, even though I am pretty sure she's gone.
Yeah.
Thank you and stay sharp, Arrowheads." That's from Steven Rysted. Steven, I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, that's exactly where I'm at. Like, yeah. I know that there's finality to that. That they did not show her dead like that for no reason.
Yeah.
But I just, I really hope that Nissa is as upset as I am. That's rough.
So good. I'm excited. Arrow's back.
Well, if you want to let us know what you thought, there's a bunch of ways that you can do that. First and foremost, you can send us an email, just like Steven did, to mail@quiverpodcast.com. But you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast, where you can find a link to our fantastic Facebook group.
Basically the best Arrow Facebook group that there is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's pretty stellar.
And you can also follow us on Twitter @QuiverPodcast.
Lots of ways. You can also get a hold of us individually. I'm on Twitter and I like to talk to you guys. I'm @AKonkin, AKonkin.
And I'm @ArkWulf, ArkWulf. You can also find all of the latest up-to-date news on Arrow, spoilers and casting and episode descriptions and all sorts of stuff like that at quiverpodcast.com. Tim does an awesome job of keeping that updated. So head over there where you can leave comments on different articles and that sort of thing.
The Quiver community is growing. Like the Quiver family, I love it. We've got Tim online. We've got our fabulous admins on the Facebook group, which we couldn't do without you guys.
Ben and David, who are awesome over there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a great idea about how you can be a part of the Quiver family, you know, let us know. We're always looking for interesting ideas. But we've got, like we say, we've got t-shirts that are specific Quiver t-shirts.
You have, as of our recording tonight, and this will probably go up on Saturday, might get it up on Friday, but probably Saturday morning. As of right now, this Wednesday night, there's 1 week left to get your t-shirts. And this is the thing, once that campaign is over, you can't get a t-shirt until we do another campaign. And I don't know that I'll do another. If I do another campaign for these shirts, they'll be more expensive next time. Because this is sort of the largest run that we'll do, and the smaller the run, the more expensive the shirts get. In order to get them to a nice $15, selling 30 shirts is our goal.
Yeah.
So head over to teespring.com/quiverpodcast and get your t-shirt. You don't have to pay up front. You can go there and reserve your shirt, and then you'll get charged when the campaign ends.
It's kind of like Kickstarter for shirts. It's Teespring, T-E-E Spring.
Yes.
So like t-shirts. So it's very cool. And we've got, other stuff if you want to know more about what Mike and I are doing. Mike's on Tumblr. I tweet about a lot of stuff. I've got so many projects coming up, so it's great to... Thank you for the Quiver love. People have been asking me about stuff I've been doing on Quiver, on Twitter and stuff, so I really appreciate that. Thank you for, you know, caring about who we are. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. It's really awesome to be part of this community. I'm really glad to be back. Thank you for listening to us, you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll catch you next week for... What's the name of the episode?
I have no idea. The I have storm, no idea what it's called. I don't know what it's called. Sorry, guys.
Whatever next week's episode
The crazy
called.
Sarah death grieving
Oh,
episode.
It's called Sarah.
Oh,
it's
is it? Sarah. Okay, well, there you go. So dealing with that. It's called Sarah. Good.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
Feel about Flash?
Oh my goodness, that was a very big segue.
Yeah,
I don't know. I like Grant Gustin. I think that it's such a light show, which is cool. I like the scientist people. I don't know. It just sort of like started weird. Like it started as a superhero. It was just like really heavy handed. I think that's the thing for me is that a lot of stuff, and because it's a pilot, like I get. It's a pilot that's, like, outside the realm of, like, realism, so I get that some of the stuff has to be super heavy-handed.
Everything that you're talking about is why everybody else loves it. I just want you to know that. Right. I want you to know that, because what everybody else has been saying is that, like, they love it because it's not ashamed of being a superhero show. Yeah. Like, right off the bat, it's not like Arrow was in its inception, where it's like, okay, so he was kind of a superhero, but he wasn't really. Like, he was going around killing people.
And he wasn't really
superhero. Yeah, he's like being a dark vigilante guy. Yeah. And now we're into a place where he's a superhero. And he's still a little bit darker than he could be. But with Flash... From the way that it shot to the way that the performances kind of come together and the ensemble is crafted to the like just the story in and of itself is all just super light, like superhero fare. Like it's pretty standard, but and it's going to be Freak of the Week. Like that's the thing. It's like don't think that it's not going to be Smallville because
no,
it's Smallville.
But see, this is the thing though. Mm-hmm. Smallville existed. A decade ago.
Yeah.
I love the tone of Smallville. I love Smallville. Smallville is like top five shows ever in the history of the world that I love. But like, maybe not. But like, more or less, like I love it. So like, the thing is though, Flash came from an Arrow world. And I kind of expected a little more. Like, I just wanted it to grow slightly more to not have to be as like unashamed of being superhero. Like, I wanted it to, I don't know what it is. And maybe I just have too high hopes. But like, I just, like, some of the stuff, like, I was writing the words. I'm like, oh, don't say that word next. Don't say that word. Oh, you said that word next. All right, sweet. Like, I just wanted it to be, like, slightly more intellectual than it was, I guess.
Maybe so I think you watched it in the wrong environment. Maybe. Because I think if you had been here watching it with me, like you do with Arrow, I think you would have liked it more.
Oh, I still like it.
I know that you like it, but I think you would have let stuff go. But because of the environment that you were in when you watched it, you took on the aspects of the other people that were with you, which, like, that's what you do when you're here. That's why we watch Arrow together, because I like Arrow more because I watch it with you, and you like Arrow more because you watch it with me.
Yeah, when I watch it by myself, I always have, like, super negative things.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, that atmosphere that you put yourself in, like, this speaks to... you want to write a paper about something, write a paper about this, because people want to just, like, shut down movie theaters, basically, right? But this speaks to the whole idea that like shared viewing experiences are completely different.
Yeah.
Right? And going to a movie theater for a comedy is a very different experience from sitting at home by yourself or with one other person and watching a comedy. Yeah. And you might chuckle at a few things, whereas in a movie theater, you would be like doubled over laughing, right? Yeah. And that's like the Adam Sandler effect, right? People go to the movies and see an Adam Sandler movie because it's kind of it's a like an offshoot of the concept of confirmation bias, right? They go to it because they want to laugh.
Yeah.
And everybody in that room wants to laugh. So when somebody throws a football at Adam Sandler's groin, intellectually, we all know that that's a bad joke. That's not a good joke. But if you're in a room with 100 other people who are all there for the express purpose of laughing at Adam Sandler, the second something that gives you permission to laugh at Adam Sandler happens, you're going to laugh at Adam Sandler. And it's going to build on the atmosphere around you, right?
Yeah.
So, like, picking on Adam Sandler, he used to be a really great comedian. I'll say that. That's my caveat. He's a terrible comedian now, but...
But, like, yeah, I mean, it's, I get totally what you're saying. And the thing is, I liked, there's some really awesome potential places that they're going with this. I really think that as a character, he's going to hold the show together really interesting.
Yep.
I loved Cop knew right away. Like, I like that that's a dynamic that's happening now. Like, the father figure is in on it from the start.
Yes.
I really like that.
Yeah, I like that he has a whole group of people right at the beginning that he can talk to.
And I love the scientists. They're great, obviously. Yep. And I'm interested to see. I mean, I like Tom Cavanaugh. I like him.
Spoilers if you haven't watched it yet, because there's something that we'll talk about in a second that is very spoilery. But, yeah, continue.
But, and I liked, like, near the end, I was intrigued, and I went, ooh. And, and to, like, my friend's credit for, like, watching the first half of it, they were, like really heckling at it.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't. I was like, you guys, come on. Like, we know, you knew what you were getting into when you were watching this. I heckled once, and it was kind of funny. And then, but then near the end, like, I was like, do you guys still want to watch this? Like, I paused to have to let somebody else in. I was like, well, like, I'll just watch it by myself. They're like, no, we'll finish it.
Yeah.
And then it, like, leads to a place where you're kind of, like, intrigued by what's going to happen next. And there's time travel, and I'm so excited.
There has to be time travel. It's Flash.
Yeah.
It's part of his whole deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I'm glad that you like it, and I think that if you... this is probably one of the last times until the crossover that I think that we will probably have watched it before we watch Arrow.
Because
I'm probably going to watch it with Crystal, and she doesn't have the ability to watch shows when they air. Sometimes, but not always.
Yeah.
So I'll probably be an episode behind or so most of the time. But when that crossover happens, obviously, we'll be caught up because we'll have to talk crossover. We'll have to know what's going on. But I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and I'm curious to see what'll happen with the ongoing.
Yeah.
With your experience with it.
I am, yeah, and I mean,
when you're watching it.
I want to like it. It helps that I come from a place of wanting to like it, because it probably will mean that I will. Right?
Well,
I don't have high expectations for it, so it will meet my expectations every week, I feel.
I want to like Gotham, and I want to like S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm trying so hard with S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm giving it so much rope to hang itself with. But this is my thing. I posted something on Facebook today about it, saying basically like the Flash is so great. It's so well done. I think it's a really well constructed pilot to get a series, pun intended, on its feet, right? Like, you know, sort of off and running. But
there's the pun.
There's the pun. Well, they're both puns. But when you compare it then to S.H.I.E.L.D. and its pilot, because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s pilot was super weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s pilot was everything that you're saying about Flash times 10.
Mm.
Right? Like, it was really, really...
Their scientists are more interesting, though. I do like the scientists on
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
At least from the first episode. Although I saw some stuff about, like, what is happening
I think
now,
that's your Whedon bias. So, I think that's your Whedon bias.
It is my Whedon bias, 100%.
Because those characters...
I fully admit to
those characters, the second they're introduced, you know exactly what's going to happen to each of them.
Well, yeah.
Right? Like, and it's all coming true. It's all coming true. So, are you gonna get caught up on that show? Probably not.
I don't know. Just like I've always intended to get caught up in Bones, and then my cousin posted about Bones last week, and I'm like, well, because I'm never catching up on that show.
Don't worry about getting caught up on Bones, because that show's just in the toilet. But but Gotham and S.H.I.E.L.D. both, they're so flawed. And I haven't watched any more than the pilot. But that the pilot for Gotham was everything you're not supposed to do in a pilot, right? Like, it just... It's just them constantly winking at the camera. I mean, we talked about it on our last episode, so we don't need to go into super detail. But it's everything that you shouldn't do with a genre pilot. Yeah. Because it... I don't know, like, think about the good genre pilots, right? A lot of them don't acknowledge the fact that they're genre.
Yeah.
Like, they don't... Like, they... It happens, and genre stuff happens, but, like, think about Buffy, right? The first episode of Buffy is not about her... having superpowers as much as it's about because especially girl. Because there's a movie already but just it's about it's about Buffy being Buffy and making friends
I think
that's where Flash has really good foundation
is a really good foundation.
Every single one of those actors that came on screen I liked except for the bad guy the Freak of the Week but the Freak of the Week doesn't have to be doesn't have to be good. Yeah. The Freak of the Week just has to service the story. Yeah,
there's enough interesting things that I'm intrigued to see where it goes. I don't know. Like I say, I just, like, it has... It's so similar to Smallville.
Yeah.
And I just, like, after a decade, expected a little bit more. Like, that's what... Like, I feel like you just... Can you... Like, you have this great platform.
It's
like,
okay, do something exciting with it. But to say, like, you say that it's so similar to Smallville and you expect them to be better after a decade... They are, because did the pilot of Smallville set up anything for the ongoing story?
No.
Yeah. Other than putting Clark and Lex at odds, but also friends.
Yeah.
But that's not really, like, setting up an overarching plot for the season as much as it was just setting up the premise of the series.
Yeah.
Which was that it's...
Well, okay. Can Lex I actually just say that really scares me at the Flash? To think that, and I know that you have to know, like, with time travel, I just, like, I have to give you so much faith. I have so much trouble. People have to earn their time travel trust with me.
You're so, but this is so funny because you're not thinking about who is making the show.
Yeah.
It's the same team that makes Arrow.
Oh.
Arrow is a time travel show. Every single episode is time travel. It's just not sci-fi time travel. But from a storytelling perspective, it's like they are doing a time travel trick, right? Okay. Like where they're only revealing things as they become relevant. Right. And that's like those are time travel tropes, right? And it's the same people. All they're doing is not showing us the... Like we're not flashing back or flashing forward.
Right. Yet.
So and Geoff Johns is behind it, and Geoff Johns has written some amazing time travel stuff in his time at DC. In particular, his stuff with Booster Gold, which is I think you read that, right? Like, I gave you that comic.
Did I read Booster Gold?
It's the one where, like, he goes back through all of, like, DC history and tries to fix a bunch of things.
I read a couple pages more heroic. I don't know if I read the whole thing. I try
sometimes. The key to that story is when he goes back and he tries to save Barbara Gordon from being shot by the Joker.
Right.
Right? And he keeps going back and trying to save her, but every time he does, something worse happens.
Oh, no.
Until he realizes that her ending up in a wheelchair as Oracle is actually the best outcome. Like that, but like fate dictates that she gets shot.
Right.
There's nothing that he could do about it, right?
Oh, crazy.
So that's the sort of time travel stuff. And he's been writing The Flash for a while, and The Flash is it's constant time travel. Barry Allen, they never touched on it in... Or not Barry Allen. Bart Allen. Impulse. Flash from Smallville. They never touched on it in Smallville. I think they might have mentioned, like, one little thing about him, like, not really knowing where he was from or whatever.
Yeah.
But Bart Allen's from the future.
Right.
Like, Bart Allen is Barry Allen's grandson, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's...
And, like, that's why he's a speedster. That's why he has the powers, because they got passed down, right? So, like...
Right.
There's time travel in it all.
And I'm intrigued by that. The thing is, like, the big thing was, like, science speak.
Sure.
Like, with, like, but it's not, but, like, not, like, actually in the, like, you have to have the line where they're like, speak to me in English, please. And it's like, I don't know, like, I don't know. This is hilarious. Can I just read you, though, like, I looked it up on IMDb. Sure. And under the goofs for,
okay.
Because it's hard, anyways, it says that, when Barry Allen talks about antimatter, dark energy, and X elements being theoretical, Harrison Wells replies, and how theoretical are you? Apparently the correct reply would have been, and how experimental are you? Since Barry was not trying to suggest that antimatter is theoretically incorrect. I just think there's like so many nerds on the internet. I just love it so much.
That's the wrong attitude to watch the show with, right? Because I honestly think like that's a great line. Like that's a fantastic part of that episode.
Yeah,
is for that character to say, yeah, and how theoretical are you? And it drives home the point, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
From a conversational standpoint,
it does.
And sometimes things can be conversational, but not necessarily factual or correct, as long as they get the point across.
Yes. Anyway, I just found that.
So, right before we jump into the episode, I just want to talk about Harrison Wells.
Right.
And what you think. Like, being somebody who doesn't have a lot of comics knowledge.
Right.
He, like we talked about, he's not from the comics.
Yeah.
But, like, there's other stuff that I know that is going to happen that's going to come to fruition that you don't know.
Really?
So, I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see what your impression is of that character and of the storyline that they lay down in those last 10 seconds of the episode.
Because then I
think I'll probably illuminate you with some factoids that
right.
Might...
Like, I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
So, because, like, I know that obviously the anti-Flash or whatever he's called, Reverse Flash.
Professor Zoom. Yeah.
Is gonna be somebody.
Yeah.
And... Again, I was watching it with someone that's comic-y and thought that it was the Pretty Boy Detective guy.
Okay.
Because of the name or something.
Yeah.
There's, right? So...
Eddie Thawne is Professor Zoom, okay. The Reverse Flash.
Okay, interesting. So, what I think is that Harrison Wells either is from the future or has some concept of, like, or he accessed, like, knowledge of some kind and is trying to make it all happen.
Yeah.
And that he knows what should happen and wants to be important and a driving factor. Yeah. And that's going to make him dangerous. But he wants to be a hero.
Yeah.
But he, in the end, I think will cause a lot of problems.
Okay. So this is my point to why that show is fantastic. You don't have a lot of comics knowledge.
Yeah.
But you picked up on all of that. I guarantee you 100% everything that you just said is pertinent to the story that will play out over season one. It might not all be, like, end up being true, but they are all questions that will be asked by Barry over the course of the first season, which, is, like, as soon as he finds out, it'll be like, is he good or is he bad? Like, is he here to help or is he here? Is he from the future or is he somehow accessing knowledge of the future?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you got all of that from a 10-second scene.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a good show. That's a good show.
Or am I a good television viewer?
No, you're in consensus with a lot of people.
Right,
like, pretty much everybody's on the same page with that. Right. But I was just curious with somebody without the background knowledge
for it, if you can pick up on
to
it.
Pick up on all that information.
I think they set that up. And again, because I was really invested in that character. I thought he was going to do good things. I am kind of sad that he's not actually in a wheelchair. I was kind of excited to have, like, a main character that was in a wheelchair.
But, so, I mean, he will like, be. But, right. but well, yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that. But it's not 1992. Okay. So we don't need to just force characters into wheelchairs.
No, not forced, but it, like, came from a natural
just a thing in the 90s of, like, every cartoon series had one guy in a wheelchair.
And
then there's the grass now. Anyway.
Anyways.
I think that last 10 seconds is the pilot.
Yeah.
I think the rest of it is like the pre-pilot.
Everything is like yada yada, whatever. Yeah. And that's the thing where you actually get it. And I'm like, oh, interesting, cool.
Yeah.
Good. And I mean, they did effectively because they had to, for people that hadn't watched Arrow, they had to make him the Flash. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, and they had to sort of smushy in, like, stuff we already knew to the beginning and then pick up. Whereas, like, I think it would have been cool to just sort of him be the Flash.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they sort of did. And it was, anyways. We'll see. It's good.
So I think that they're setting up, and Steve and Derek talked about this on Starkville Labs, but I agree with them. I think that they're setting up Wells as his Lex. Right? So, like, it's going to be... You described Lex Luthor in what you were saying, right? It's like, he thinks that he's a hero. Yeah. He thinks that he's doing good things.
Yeah.
Like, I think that he came from the future.
Okay.
And I think that what he's trying to stop is whatever happened in that crisis. Right?
Okay.
So, like, the word crisis holds a lot of information in the DC.
It does. I found that out the other day.
It's like, it's a universe.
Flashes die each time
shattering.
A crisis happens.
Sorry?
Flashes die each time a crisis happens.
Basically. But not every single time. But yeah.
But, so like, more or less, it's like a standard trope.
There are so many Flashes, and there's only been one Superman, right?
Right.
Like, that's not entirely true. There have been other Supermen, but there's really only one Superman.
Right.
But there are a lot of characters who have literally held the title of Flash and been to the outside world the Flash. Just one person, one guy. It'd be more difficult for them moving forward because I think Wally West in the New 52
is Iris' brother.
And so he's black now.
Yeah, and that's actually
fantastic.
My friend was really excited for that.
I love it.
That
it
Wally
makes
West
me so happy that that casting choice in the TV show then informed a decision that got made at DC to reverse the opposite of whitewash, to color wash a character, because whitewashing is taking characters of color and of any color, all sorts of colors, and just making them white because that's the easy thing to do. But this is the opposite. It's taking a white character and just making them some ethnicity other than a Caucasian dude with brown hair and blue eyes.
Yeah,
or
it'll be interesting.
Green eyes. But those are the two choices that you get.
Interesting.
So I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. But it'll be interesting how that works with the Flash in the way that he's traditionally been treated, because once he has the mask on, it's always just a skinny dude in red tights, running around. But now there's a Flash who is distinguishable from it's not the same as like when Spider-Man changed from being Peter Parker in the Ultimate Universe to Miles Morales, who's black and Hispanic. It's like, it doesn't make a difference because he puts a mask on his entire body, he's completely covered. And they've done cool things with that where like his costume gets ripped and people see like, he's black. But it's kind of key to Flash's character that he gets replaced a lot, because like you said, every time there's a crisis, a Flash dies, more or less. But now it's like one of those Flashes is distinctly different from the other. So I'm hoping that they carry it through and that like when Bart Allen gets... Oh, I guess Bart's already...
Is it Bart?
I'm trying to remember if it's Bart that's part of Teen Titans, because I know that they have a Flash.
Isn't Bart Impulse?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but he becomes the Flash.
Oh, okay.
Because through time travel shenanigans, he comes back as an adult at one point, is an adult. Like,
Flash.
When...
Because
Barry Allen was... Well, I mean, Jay Garrick was the original Flash, but then... Barry Allen's the Flash that everybody knows, right?
Okay.
Not the Silver Age one. He stops being Flash, and then Wally West becomes Flash, and then when Wally West died, Bart Allen, through time travel shenanigans, became Flash, right? And like, to anybody looking at comics on a shelf, they're indistinguishable, right? Like, they all look like the same guy. But
interesting.
Yeah.
So just origin stories and stuff like that. Cool.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into
podcasting.
Yeah, the actual episode.
Is it actually recording?
Yep.
Can we
listen? Yep.
Okay.
43 minutes and 43 seconds.
Ugh, so much.